Our heroes are wonderful, aren't they? They convinced the Duke's Rebellion to join without any bloodshed, and only got stuck in the weeds of threatened violence for a short while. With our heroes, nothing is impossible. So let's see how they fare against the Grave Diggers.
Alright. Last call for anyone who wants to do something before we jump forward to your assassination attempt, I guess is what we'll call it.
Before we storm the castle, and by castle I mean Gravedigger's lair.
Literally the opposite of a castle.
It's an underground castle. Yeah, I'd like to do a quick scene with Friar Lewis like the night before.
Alright. So several nights have passed. You guys have prepped. Friar Lewis is not as terrible as he was. He talks about the prophet a little bit less in disguise now. But, you know, you can make Friar Lewis not look like himself, like a squid monster, but you can't take the prophet out of the squid monster. Or something like that.
Or something.
So, it is night. He is sitting, reading through whatever the Bible equivalent of this world is. I do not remember the name. By candlelight, just down in the bakery.
Yeah, I think it's like late enough that basically everyone else should be asleep at this point. Or at least they're pretending to be, since, you know, I'm sure some are running on adrenaline.
Yeah, you hear pacing from Catalina's room, but not in a, like, she's trying to escape sort of way. It's just like, she actually has to do something big tomorrow.
It's like nervous energy.
Yes, and very much.
And see, Sigrithr is the opposite. Sigrithr, I mean, after she's done all of her, like, she's done all her preparations, she's got all the runes that she wants set up for the battle, because she's going to be in the front lines, right, at the gate, and like she's got all her her weapons are all sharpened, everything's ready. She is out. She is fast asleep.
She's dead to the world. So Lena is feeling some of that nervous energy, and she comes down the stairs from her room to see Friar Lewis reading his biblical equivalent. Good evening, Friar Lewis. It is, I'm not too surprised to see you up.
Yes, my child. It's since I've turned into a squid man, I sleep as much as a squid, I think.
Oh.
We know surprisingly little about squids. One of the great creations of our Lord. At least I tell myself that so I don't cringe every time I look in a mirror.
Got it. So, based on our very little knowledge of squids, you find yourself awake a lot of the time now?
That is my assumption.
I see.
What troubles you? You are usually asleep by this point of the night.
See, I've just got a little bit of nervous energy before we do this, and, you know, my mind has been racing, and, you know, I actually had a thought that I wanted to bring to your attention.
I'm all ears.
So I know that Nyozi especially has been on your case about not preaching once we get you all settled in there, down with the gravediggers. But I think, honestly, it might not be a bad idea for cursed Magnus Wilson to maybe have his change of heart in reforming the Gravediggers by, I don't know, maybe finding religion now that he's been cursed.
That was my thought. I thought it was a good idea, but...
Well, you know, I do agree that I think there's, you know, taking your time to get to that point is not a bad idea so they don't suspect you, but it certainly...
Nostroy has told me many times that I should not talk about the prophet very quickly at all, so I will take it slower.
Well, and you know, it's an opportunity for you to rediscover your religion. I feel like that can be like a really good way to really cement your faith in finding it again. But, I mean, we have to reform the gravediggers at some point, and why not use this as a good way to do it?
Exactly, and I think...
and pardon me for speaking ill of my good friend Nostroy, but I think he fails to see how drastic, horrific changes could bring someone to a different change of mind. For me and him, we are cut from a similar cloth. We had what I presume on his part a terrible event happen, like on mine, and it only calcified our beliefs. We only became more fervent, but some people experience great hardship and turn from their ways of misdeed and start on a new path. And why can't this fake Magnus do the same?
That is exactly my thought. So if you don't mind, since I'm probably going to take me a little bit to wind back down, if you don't mind, I'd love to join you for a minute, and I think my sword needs a little bit of sharpening. And she, like, sits down and pulls out, like, a whetstone to sharpen it.
Would you like me to talk, or are we just sitting in companionable silence?
Whatever makes you feel better, I am comfortable with either.
As you guys sit there and silence descends around you, you do talk a little bit, but in a friendly and not, like, forced way. You know, every so often you'll just, like, have a little bit of a chat, you know, and ebb back into silence, having a nice rhythm where you know, the conversation will lull and neither of you feels the need to force words out, but also not feel like you're forced to be silent.
Yeah.
As the candles burn down and you eventually both head to your rooms and fall asleep. The next morning dawns, dawn of the final day. 12 hours remain.
We look up in the sky and see that meteor that's been there the whole time that we never talked about.
With a big face on it. You have a meeting time and place for both groups of you guys given to you earlier in the week by the Duke's Rebellion. This is a food distribution day, so you'll be hitting it probably mid-morning when the food typically comes out in an attempt to disrupt the grave diggers stealing from the general populace. And this was all laid out to you beforehand. Nothing comes as a shock. None of this is a shock or a surprise. So you guys have your last moments together before you all head off to this crazy, dangerous mission. And the first time you're actively doing something good for the city? On purpose. Getting rid of the werewolves was a good thing. I'm not going to pretend that it wasn't, but it was like, that was like, and you know, that it was a roundabout way.
Well, assuming that it actually even worked.
Yeah, you might have just given the bog lurchers werewolves.
Right. That was the thing. It's like, man, this could backfire so hard if they just joined forces.
Or are captured.
I think it was a good thing. I think we did it right. I believe in us.
We'll find out when we're pitted against the bog lurchers.
Yeah, right? And they have werewolves?
No regrets.
I believe in Harvey Werewolf.
I was gonna say that. You stole my joke.
She does it so much.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I can't be mad at you if you come up with the joke independently and beat me to saying it.
Oh, I can.
It's not like I say...
I'm vain. I can totally be mad at you about that, and I am. could I talk to Catalina?
Yes. Do you want to, is it alone or in front of the group?
I think it would be alone. Yeah, if we could.
Okay. So she's up in her room, like, it's not quite time to leave yet. And she's in her room, like, you know, in front of the mirror, tightening her belt, making sure she looks regal, but also, like, she can handle herself, you know? She's not dressed like pretty nobility, but she's also trying to, like, be a symbol, so she can't be, like, generic guard number 4 looking either.
Yeah.
Or sloppy. Yeah.
So she has like a nice like set sash of color, like bright color, which is the Castilian way, which I think is orange is the city color. So she has a nice sash of orange when you knock on the door. Come in.
Nostroy walks in and goes, "Oh, look at you, looking the part of a duchess already."
Oh, thank you. Do I have the dour, miserable look since my life is internal suffering down? And she gives you a frown.
I should hope so. I do not wish to lie to you. This is what your life will certainly be.
It was a joking frown, by the way. It wasn't like a mad at you.
Nostroy, like, sits down, like, I don't know, on a bed or in, you know, a chair and kind of hunches forward and goes, "I wish to speak to you before we... do this. It's kind of not a way to go back from this. This is sort of, you know, your, like, coming out party. Is that what, like, I don't know, debutante ball, but with swords?" Historically, I don't know if those existed at this time, so it might be the wrong reference, but I only have limited references that I know.
I mean, they probably did, because it's not that far back in history that this is taking place.
Right.
It feels like forever ago, but I'm like, it was like 300 years ago this stuff was happening.
The point is, this is your introduction to a society.
Yeah, this isn't exactly what I had in mind when 4 years ago when we were friends and sitting in the gardens and you were doing fun magic tricks that I would roll my eyes at. But after seeing what these people do and how they are hurting everyone else in the city, I don't think we really have a choice. Like, this was...
We do. And this is maybe what I want to talk to you about. I'm curious why you're doing this. I understand you have the name, you have the lineage, you have the title, and I know that, you know, many people now are waiting for us to do this, but you could get back on the boat. Nothing is stopping you from leaving. The four of us could stay, we could fight if that's what we choose to do, and find another person to lead, or make the fake Catalina work for us, whatever we must do, but you don't have to. Really, at this point, you have all the reason in the world to leave. And yes, everyone thinks Nyostro is miserable, everyone assumes his stories are dark, and they are. But they're also true. There will be misery for you for a long time, and you have to know that this is what you want to do. Not because of your name, but because you want it, and you have to have a reason to want it.
How do you know so much about noble life, Nostroy?
I spent many years of my life instead of doing what I love, which is performing for people that need to learn lessons and have some joy. I spent all of that watching out for your father for the simple reason that he seemed to genuinely care for the people around him. He seemed to foster a world where people could express themselves, where people could grow. And for that, he was killed. So, my point is, this is the future you are putting yourself in store for. If you follow his legacy ended in his death. So you must ask yourself, do you believe in something strong enough, not necessarily to die, but to give your life to it?
Do you remember when we first came back, why we first came back?
I know why I did. I am unsure. I want to know that you know why you did. Does that make sense?
It does. And I know that you think we all voted on coming back and that it was going to be... that it might have not been my decision to come back had you guys not said we want to go back and see our home and reinstill you as Duchess. But I think you raised me well enough, and Sigrithur and Magdalena and Cormac, that if I didn't want to do this, I wouldn't be here. And I appreciate you coming to make sure that I'm sure of myself, but I am. Nothing has changed, both with the city falling apart and with my resolve to save it. And yes, it might be hard, and I might have to get my hands dirty, but letting people suffer because I don't want to do something that I find hard or difficult, and taking the easy path, I don't know if I could live with myself for doing that. And yes, my father's legacy did end in his death, but actually no, it didn't. Currently it ended in his death, and we're going to fix that. His legacy is going to show how this is a bad system that we have here and how we can do better. I am his legacy, and I want to stand up for these people. But thank you for checking on me. I appreciate it.
I will say, I am of course always worried for you. Part of the reason that we are all here is to make sure that you, you know, don't die. That is part of it. But keep in mind, and this is relevant for what we're about to do, it is not enough, necessarily, for us to want you to succeed. Yeah, kind of from here on out, you're going to have to make people, other people, want you to succeed, right? You kind of won us over by default. That's fine. But my point is that in the coming time, things are going to maybe get bad for some people. People might die today for this. Hopefully not you, that's why all of us are here, to try to keep that from happening. but things might get kind of rough. So that sort of puts the price on what we are trying to do here. It will be measured in marked suffering in the city for a while.
And I know that. It is not something I'm looking forward to. If we could have done this peacefully, we would have. But having an imposter on the throne makes everything significantly more difficult.
That is true. I am very curious to see why. I don't exactly know why someone would want to pretend to be you. We will find out. You know, maybe she'll surrender and we can be friends, but somehow, given the murder that started this whole thing, I doubt it. I think things are gonna get rough.
Yeah, she will probably be executed, if we're being honest. And if we don't kill her, she'll probably want us to kill her after Magdalena starts calling her Fake Alina all the time.
We could also maybe find the book that turned Friar Lewis into a giant squid monster and just get her to read that. That might take care of the whole, because then she can't look like you anymore. It'll be easy.
If you want to go sail to the Avalon Isles, I guess we could do that. But it seems like a roundabout way when, you know, nice dagger in the heart would suffice just as well.
You know, I think at some point maybe there is a part of me that is curious about squid monsters, but it's fine. We don't need to. I found out that fire can make werewolves, and now I'm kind of in the weeds with that. It doesn't matter. This is a professional curiosity, one that you do not need to humor. But anyways.
Well, Nostrai, once I don't need you as my general slash bodyguard 24/7, I'll give you a leave of absence to go discover all you can about werewolves and squid monsters.
I think there might be something that Friar Lewis has to say about idle hands and devils, but for right now...
I mean, technically it's not being idle if you're looking for something.
Well, that's generous. Anyways, Magdalena, I hope this goes well for you. Remember?
That's not her
this
name.
This is going to be the... Dang it, Catalina! Why? Why must names be similar? It's difficult for me. All of your names, they sound alike to me. Don't tell Magdalena that I said all of your names sound similar to me.
I mean, I think she feels she feels that everyone else's name is hard to pronounce, hence her giving us all nicknames?
No, that's because she has no sense of respect.
Mandy, your pose was adorable.
For the podcast, or for the sake of
I'm not in
listening.
This scene.
I mean...
But...
I don't...
Remember, this... Sorry, do you want to say something? There's a weird delay when we speak.
You go for it. It's almost like we're talking through magic mirrors far apart.
Right? My point is, this is going to be the first story of your reign. So, embellish the truth. Lie if needed, make it something memorable. That is our goal.
I mean, I think cursing a man to be a squid monster, pretty memorable.
Oh yeah, it's pretty good. I'm a fan.
It's pretty good. Also, it will allow Friar Lewis a little bit more freedom in the city, or at least the Undercity.
I agree.
That'll be nice for him. You know, I think he gets lonely.
Yeah, that's all I got. So we can wander back to the larger group.
All right. Anyone else want to do any scenes before we get this party started?
Nope.
All right. You all gather up, say your goodbyes, tell each other to be safe, and head out your respective ways. Cormac, Nostroy, Catalina, and the disguised Friar Lewis all head to the meeting point for the break-in. While Magdalena and Sigrithar head to the food distribution point nearest where they will be breaking in. I think that's what they'll do. Food distribution point nearest to where the assassination attempt B&E is about to happen.
Well, is that where we would want to go? The only reason I say that is because I assume we would want to draw them away from that point. Does that make sense?
Yes. I'm trying to think, because the catacombs are big.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if you wanted to try to clear everyone out who's, like, right there, and hopefully that people won't be there, or try to draw a huge amount of them so, like, everywhere stretched thin. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you, so here, I'll give you the option. Do you guys want it to be, do you want it to be empty, but the, your friends are on a clock if you succeed, or do you want them to not be on a clock, but everyone to be inside to be threats spread thin?
Ooh, you know, I'm gonna, I personally, I think we want it empty for them, but they're on a clock.
I was thinking the same.
I think the more advantage we can give the assassinators.
Cool. If you want
assassins, that there's a word, assassins.
the assassinators.
Nope, assassinators. TM.
I pulled a Cody.
Excuse me.
Right. It's definitely going to be an evil villain gang and our superhero.
That sounds like a Doofenshmirtz item, like a machine in Phineas and Ferb.
Right.
The Assassinator!
The Assassinator.
That was pretty good Doofenshmirtz.
I was going to say it sounds like a Death Clock song, like Mermaider. Frickin' now I'm going to listen to Mermaider.
Alrighty. So with that, you guys are going to be the food distribution center closest to where they will be breaking in.
Okay.
In attempts to clear out as many people as you can.
Okay, that makes sense.
So Magdalena and Sigrathur, you go to this place and you see, you don't really see anyone from the Duke's Rebellion at a glance. It's much more busy, and after you look around for a few moments, you're waved down by a face that you recognize as Victor, Sigrathur. Oh, Sigrathur, my friend. I was hoping that I would get to see you today.
Oh, Victor, it's very good to see you. Will we be fighting side by side on the battlefield?
Well, battlefield is a relative term. We are not the most sizable faction in this city, so we use a little bit of chicanery to spice things up, but
it's time to be a bully for the gravediggers.
I think it's time they had one, yes. We do need to be careful, though. There are a lot of innocents around, and these are the people that we are trying to help.
Is there any chance that people with you can kind of, if things start getting hectic, people with you can kind of let them know to get out?
We will do our best. We have people. I am not the only one here. We have other people stationed around. They would be able to help. But the plan is to light a few fires, bump a few heads, you know, that sort of thing. So hopefully the gravediggers have not been known for actively killing civilians in the same way, say, the guards would. But they also typically aren't attacked because they feel pretty invincible. You know, they have underground tunnels that go everywhere in the city. You know, you don't really want to piss them off.
Yeah, like I said, it's time to bully them.
Good job convincing Adriana that we should piss them off. So kudos to you guys. Like, this will be a fun day. If we make it through, Sigrathur, you owe me a beer.
Oh, absolutely. We'll have plenty of drinks after this.
Not that weird teleporting one, though. It tastes weird. And then you end up in Prophet Nowhere.
All right. Let me look at someone's character sheet. I got skills here.
Isn't that the worst? Sorry, that's a tangent. Never mind.
Hard parts of being a DM is knowing everything the characters know, and then more. Being God's difficult, and I do it poorly. So I have more respect for actual deities. I'm just saying I get Zeus a little bit better after fucking over so many of your characters. Anyway. You guys need to light fires sneakily. Tell me what you want to use to do this. Tell me how you're doing it, and we'll decide skills.
I go borrow Nostra right now.
Yeah, we really did the wrong. We really switched these, didn't we?
No, you got to put on a performance down in the catacombs.
Well, the other thing is for this is you guys are not. So Victor explains the plan. So the point of this, we are not trying to be flamboyant and loud in the same way that your friend is. He likes to send a message with his fire. This fire is more to draw them out and make them alarmed, not that they know that we did it. And then we are going to make them more alarmed by knocking a few heads. And hopefully they won't see us when we knock the few heads. And if we have to get into a fight, we have to get into a fight. But in a fair fight, they have more numbers than us, and we need to be careful.
Are we literally setting fires around this area? Or are we just trying to, when you say start fires, it like start some scuffles?
We are literally starting fires to draw them out.
Okay.
Unless you have a better plan than God himself?
No, my original thought just when we said that we were going to be here around food pickup time was that when they went up to get it, we just like get in their way and be like, no, you're not taking all of this.
We can do some of that for sure. Like, I figured those would be the ones we'd bonk the heads on and then they'd be like, because they'd look for them.
That sounds great.
But if we don't have something to distract them, you know, and fun fact, the gravediggers just aren't only underground, like the vermin they are. They also infest houses. So we've picked a few houses that they might care about. A few holdings, maybe. Maybe one a house where Magnus thinks he hides his nice artwork. You'll know if it burned down.
So out of game real quick. This is not, I think we did switch it up. This is not the mission I thought we were doing.
Well, no, I think we're just starting. We have to start somewhere.
Yeah, there will be fighting, but you guys cannot. The Gravediggers vastly outnumber the Duke's Rebellion. So in a straight fight, the Duke's Rebellion would lose every time, you know?
Okay. That makes sense.
You know, I think it's where you're limiting the people who know that they're fighting you.
Right.
So that you can do it more one at a time.
Right. And it's that whole thing. It's like that thing where it's like if people keep getting taken out, it's like how many of them are there out there? It's like, oh, it's four guys, but you've seen none of them.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was going to be more like we stop them at the food pickup and call them out and fight them. I guess I didn't realize that it was such an uneven match that we can't do that.
I think Duke's Rebellion is probably the smallest faction in the city.
Oh,
so we have to be sneaky.
Yeah, which we never really got a number from Adriana. She never actually told us.
Right.
So I really didn't have a sense of size.
Yeah, they might not be specifically the smallest, like by pure numbers, but they are the most spread out and small.
Okay, so I'm going to assume that Victor had someone with him, like his buddy, partner, whatever. I would like to go around with him and use hide and finesse to find the specific places that we need to start fires.
All right.
And I'm also going to use my ghost advantage, which, since I look like an NPC, all my dice gain +1 when I do a hide.
Unfortunately, all of my NPCs look dashingly hot. It's an adventure story. Everyone's unnaturally attractive.
Ugh, this is not a lot of dice, but...
You only need 10. Well, at least 1 10.
Well, with my advantage, I have 2 10s and a dice left over.
I'll buy your dice. I'll let you have another hero point, crazy kid.
Thank you.
I'm up to 7. This will be fun.
I give my points out a lot, so yeah, so I'll take the extra one.
Hey, I mean, that's how you get more points.
So once Magdalena kind of goes off with the other unnamed person, do we have a name for this person?
Mark.
Mark it is.
Sigurthur's going to turn to Victor and say, I'm not so good at the hiding part. I'm more of a very loud, stabby, slashy type. What do you suggest that we do here?
Well, that is tough. So, here's my thought. We set the fire near the food, not like next to the food, but in the location closest to the food, and then we go punch up a few guys. Sound good?
Sounds good to me. That was also my way of telling Zach, I don't have ranks in hide.
Good luck. Do any of your charms hurt? Help? Your runes?
Oh, let's see. Doesn't really look like it. Yeah, a lot of the, because of how I built the character, a lot of the runes I took are more helpful in combat.
Make a roll then. Tell me what you're using to do this.
Oh, gosh. What am I even gonna roll?
I mean, you should definitely use brawn if you're, like, bopping heads.
Well, this is just for the starting fires part, right?
Yes.
Can I Can I even roll it? Can I even choose a skill that I have zero ranks in? Or could I choose it and just get no dice for it?
I think you'd choose and get no dice in it.
Okay.
You can all... I think you're... There are more ways to be stealthy than just using hide. So, for example, you can just, like, be intimidating to be a distraction. You'd be, like, making people look away while Victor sets a fire.
That's actually not... I was actually thinking about that, too. That I like that.
Like Magdalena chose something she's good at. She's good at blending in. You're not, so don't...
Don't try.
Like, you can try it. You can try if you want. I'm not going to say, like, this is a bad idea. But if you're feeling like, oh, I want to roll more dice, then, like, play to your strengths.
Okay, actually, I think I have a slightly better idea. I think what Sigurthur's going to do is she's going to try to find... She's trying to find places to stand, like, somewhere to stand that makes her look intimidating, like makes her kind of like she's actually trying to draw attention away from Victor. Like she's trying to get them, like the people to look over at her and say, oh, maybe we should pay attention to her, but just drawing their eye away from Victor and what he's doing.
All right.
So I'm thinking wits and intimidate. Does that seem reasonable?
I kind of want to say panache.
I mean, they're the same.
Okay. I'm going to say panache, but it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Since you have them the same.
Would you say this is a risk that is easier due to my size?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't want to, but yeah. When you ask questions like that, I don't like saying yes.
Okay, let's see. My intimidate is high enough. I can reroll something. That is 3 raises with 1 die left over.
I can buy yours as well. Why not? Everybody gets a...
I need to spend mine. I've got plenty.
You said 3 raises?
Yep, 3 raises.
Alrighty, so you guys set fires. They go off, or Victor and Lena and Mark set fires while Sigurthur is providing a distraction. These buildings, everyone's calm, and then all of a sudden these buildings just go up in a blaze. It appears that the fires were not just like throwing a damp rag, but this was prepped beforehand by the Duke's Rebellion to be a scene. You also, as this happens, people start running and screaming, and you see slimy looking people start running towards the houses, who you can presume are like the gravediggers. They look dusty and dirty and generally terrible. Like you want to punch them in the face. You do notice, by taking a second as the fires go off and the small explosions happen engulfing these buildings, that the Duke's Rebellion did a very good job of making sure that bystanders were not in the initial blast radius. In the panic, they can't control it, but they chose their targets very carefully as to not hurt people.
Good.
All right, you guys still have the advantage of stealth right now, so... Well, you're not like your stealth in the way that you're not perceived as a threat. Sigurthur, you're far enough away that you were distracting people and looking intimidating, but you weren't next to a house that just exploded, so they're like, well, it's not that person.
Right, right.
Even if they logically would think about it and put it together like, oh, you were the distraction, like this is like the split second before they like have time to think. What do you do?
I think Lena would probably like blend in with the crowd a little bit to get away from the specific building just so that they don't realize she is one of the ones who set the fires.
Okay. You do that. You are in the crowd jostling with people as everyone's... A lot of people are panicking and screaming and leaving the food area. Mark is right with you.
Yeah, I would say we're not going like we're headed closer to the food area, but like in the crowd enough that they can't pick us out.
All right, you're heading towards there, Sigurthur. What are you doing?
I'm gonna try to meet back up with Victor and head also towards the food area.
All right.
See if we can meet up with Lena and Mark.
Yeah, you guys. Through some shifting and moving and jostling are able, and a general panic, it's not too hard for anyone to fade into the crowd at this point.
All right, are we ready to bash some heads in? Because I'm tired of these rat bastards.
Let's make a show of it.
Oh, absolutely. I am more than ready to bash some heads in.
So there are, right now, as you guys were able to take stock, There are about 10 of them. They are not heavily armed. They're armed, but not heavily armed. They will do you damage as you attack them.
What's the current layout of, like, closest to us to farthest?
Victor, the building about two doors over is on fire. That's the one Victor set on fire. You're at a cart in the middle of the street is where the food's being distributed from.
Okay.
The one you did is probably across the street and down the lane the opposite way.
Okay.
Like, you can make a square with the cart in the center kind of thing, except yours is more than two houses down. It's probably more like four or five down.
Okay. Okay, I meant more like where the people are.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine.
Word tapestry. It looks like a nice city that is now on fire. The closest, probably a group of five and a group of three are expecting the houses, a group of five being at the closer one. There are two guys that are by the food cart currently.
Okay. In that case, I think Lena is going to go over to the two over at the food cart, and with her with a hand on the handle of her blade, she's going to look over the two men. You know, I think it's about time that somebody told you two that the graveyard diggers need to step aside.
No one tells the grave diggers to step aside. We rule this city.
I already hate him.
Oh, but I don't know if you can see. There are some more important people in town now.
All I see is some unimportant-looking girl.
Lena is going to rear back and punch him in the face. So I'm going to use brawn and brawl.
Yeah, that seems completely accurate.
Perfect.
Also, Letta's like in her 30s, right? At least?
He's being derogatory, yes. Okay. You figured it out.
Okay.
She is very much a woman, an adult.
Are we still tens?
Still tens.
Looking for tens? Okay.
But you are 11s, right?
Oh, shoot, I am 11. I will say my other ones did still get me to an 11. But with that, that is two successes.
All right.
Oh, I think I forgot my extra dice. It wouldn't have mattered.
So with that punch, you're able to deck this guy in the...
My nose! My nose! Everybody, we're being attacked!
And you see, like, the guy next to him being, like, give him a look like, well, that was kind of obvious with the fires.
What are you doing standing there? Attack them!
Hey, can I fish for a hero point? Because I was trying to prove that there's more to nobility than expensive clothes and attending court.
Fine. These all do reset at the end of the arc, just so you know.
Oh, I know. I just wanted to, you know.
Lead it to the game rules.
I like your character more, but I hate this NPC.
I love that you, like, perfectly crystallize the description of somebody sounding weaselly.
It was good.
And then just gave them a voice.
My favorite part is you're all like, I hate this guy so much. I'm like, guys, that was literally the point. They are the bad guys.
I know.
It's perfect.
Encouraging. It.
I know. No, it was. I was just surprised on how quickly you got me to hate him.
All right, Sigurthur, you're up.
All right, seeing Lena rush in, Sigurthur's gonna rush in. Sigurthur's gonna go for the other one that was at the food cart next to Lena.
All right.
And so now the question is, I assume this is something we might have talked about beforehand. Are we killing these guys? Are we just trying to knock them about?
I assume knock them about first.
Yes.
If they start trying to kill us, then all bets off.
The Duke's Rebellion is not above using lethal force.
Okay.
But they probably would not start with that. So probably you're at a knockabout phase. But if they start drawing swords on you, the Duke's Rebellion's not going to be like, we can't fight.
Or if they started threatening townspeople.
Right.
I imagine that would kick things into a higher gear.
So if that's in that case, what Sigurthur is going to do is she's going to, it's going to sound funny, she's going to draw her axe, but then she's going to basically slam the hilt into the guy's stomach.
Alrighty.
So would that be weaponry, or do you think that'd be, yeah, I guess it'd probably still be weaponry, right?
I think it'd be weaponry.
It's a blunt weapon.
Are you guys adding your plus one die when you roll something right now, by the way?
I have forgotten it the last two times on hide and brawn, so I was going to do it the next time I use those.
I got weaponry for you, Sigrathur.
And brawn, does that sound appropriate?
Yeah, brawn. Yeah, you're just like, we're hitting, like, punching him hard, you know, like, it's not really finesse to gut punching someone.
Right.
At least that I know of. Write in, viewers. Does gut punching take finesse? Am I wrong? I wanted to come up with, like, a funny email to say, but I had absolutely nothing.
That is four raises with a die left over.
All right. So, you're like, watch this. Non-lethal. And you punch this guy. And you miss, actually, a little bit. You don't hit him in the gut. You hit him, like, in a rib, and you hear a snap, and you're like, oops. As he crumples.
Is this the time where Sigrathur says, I guess I don't know man's strength?
At this point, you see, with the screaming of the one whose nose you punched, he's basically out of the fight, just like holding his nose, blood dripping down his face. Like, you see the other people turn, and you see, go, run, get the others, we're under assault. So, some of them scamper off. I think we are drawing them out like we want, but I think the fight's beginning now, so let's be prepared.
I thought we already begun it.
I mean, I don't think they are going to be just punching us in the nose, if you catch my drift.
Well, we are ready.
Mark turns to you. I will protect you, fair madam. Moiselle. Madam? Mademoiselle?
Mademoiselle.
Senorita?
Senorita! I appreciate...
Senorita! Oh! You see him pull out a rose out of his vest. For you. My dulce rosa.
She'll take it. I appreciate the sentiment, senor, but please watch my back.
I will.
No, not literally. Like, turn around.
All right. So, you guys, the guys are starting to close on you. They are drawing weapons, which is a variety of more... It's more esoteric weapons than you fought before. It's more shovels and implements you would use for grave digging, like pickaxes and items like that, and less swords and spears. You kind of get the feeling that they took power just because you can't beat them, not because they were well prepared. You know, when they have an unbreakable fortress, it's hard to break in.
Yeah. I mean, Magdalena will wait until the first guy comes up with a weapon towards her before... I mean, she'll, like, you know, have her stuff ready to go, but...
All right.
She's not going to start it. She already started it.
So, where we're at right now, like, from a mechanical level, just to make it a little easier. When guys attack you, they're going to come at you for 3 damage each. You can negate some of that damage by spending your raises on it. Additionally, each raise you can use, or instead of that, you can use each raise to take out a person or to clear a certain amount of civilians. So you can, like, clear, like, 10% of the civilians, or, like, make openings so civilians can get by, you know, like, whether that's making the fight go a certain direction, holding a guard longer than you would just so, like, people don't get cut as they pass by, something like that, so that people can escape. You can take a guy out. There's currently 7 of them. Reinforcements will come quickly.
In that case, assuming that there is somebody running up to Lena, she is going to take her cutlass and parry with weaponry and brawn.
Okay.
And I'm going to take my extra dice for weaponry. That is 3 raises.
How would you like to spend them?
Okay, so I can use one defeats him, right?
Yeah, so you can use multiple to defeat multiple guys.
Oh, okay.
What, you know, like, cause they're like a squad. So you can say like, oh, I'm using all 3 to defeat guys that are coming at me.
Okay.
If you want. Yeah, there are 3 options and you can spend as many successes on them as you want. That'll determine how well or things are doing.
Okay, I forgot that I'm also hurt enough right now that I have one thing.
I haven't been using that either.
Didn't make a difference in terms of my raises, But I'm going to use two successes right off the bat to knock out two of them. And I'm going to use my other raise, my third one, to clear some of the crowd.
So some of the crowd starts clearing out. You make way and lead the guys that are fighting you. You parry one, throw them into the other kind of thing, and they fall over in a heap, you know, as they bonk heads together.
Perfect.
And you, like, usher some people by before the next one is able to, the next group of enemies is able to close on you. Sigrithur.
Would you say that this combat is something that is easier due to my size?
I feel like at a certain... I would say no.
Okay. I thought that one might be a stretch.
Your size is probably more of a detriment than it usually is on a battlefield because you don't have the space in the same way because you're not trying to hit people. You know, collateral is a thing you have to be very worried about here. Not everyone's a combatant like you would want them to be.
That is true. Okay. Yeah, Sigrithur's gonna just start... How many guys are actually still around? No, Lena took out a couple.
There are five.
Okay.
And there's still a good portion of the crowd. Like, the majority of the crowd is not gone yet.
Okay. Yeah, so Sigrithur is going to try to position herself between some of the gravediggers and the crowd. Like, trying to get in that space and slash at the gravediggers with her axe.
Alrighty.
I'm using,
Oh, and Lena, you took three damage as they hurt you as they went by.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm using brawn and weaponry. I'm trying to get the enemy combatants out as fast as possible.
Okay.
That was a lot of low numbers. It was a lot of dice, but it was also a lot of low numbers. Oh, wow. That is exactly four raises. No dice left over.
All right, what would you like to do with that?
And by exactly, I mean everything totaled to exactly 10. I will use two raises to take out a couple guys and use the other two to try to clear out some of the crowd. Like, I imagine how this actually works is Sigrithur kind of almost bowls them over, but by bowling them over, she just kind of like pushes them away from the combat. It works.
It works. The crowd is still full, but starting to look a little bit thinned as you are pushing these people out, and people are like, maybe we should get out of here. Maybe the food isn't worth my life. Like, stale bread? Maybe we move on. You know? There'll be stale bread tomorrow, right? Right. Okay. First things first. Mark and Victor do very little. All right. They help shuffle another group of the crowd out, but that's about it.
That's fine. That's kind of what I expected them to do.
Yeah, I gave them a combined roll of four dice together, so they get successes the same way you do, so it's like, if I roll really well, they'll do really well.
Yeah.
But they did about as well as they can. Actually, no, they didn't. they rolled very terribly, but sorry, I rolled really well for reinforcements. Six more guys show up.
Okay, so how many total are there?
You have eight enemies.
Eight enemies. Okay.
All right, how are you guys doing? We are doing all right over here. There are a lot of civilians still around, so I don't know if we want to leave yet. I feel bad because I don't know what the gravediggers will do when they can't find us.
I think we can give them a little bit more time down there and then see what we can do.
That is a great idea, Senorita. He winks at you. He is always like this. I'm sorry.
Lena puts the rose in her mouth, and we're going to go in for round two.
Have you ever seen a woman so attractive, Victor? Please stop. I don't want any part in this.
All right. Tell me what you're doing.
I'm going to do same roll, weaponry and brawn. And this time I'm actually going to add my bonus die to all risks. So, yep, that should be it. Okay, 11, and... Okay, so that's two raises and two dice left over.
All right.
I don't know if this will make a difference. So one of my advantages is I can spend a hero point to keep another character from drawing a weapon. I don't know if maybe that would negate some damage to me if somebody couldn't draw a weapon.
Yes. Yes, I will allow that to negate... Since you're using a hero point, I'll say for this round, you can negate all the damage with that.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm going to do then. So the way that I kind of envision it is it's reinforcements that like kind of know what's going on, but kind of don't. So they like have their weapons, they have their shovels, but they're kind of like relaxed and they're kind of just rushing in. So with her cutlass, she ends up, she uses it to like push against the shovel, to push the person back into other reinforcements. Cause with two raises, I'm going to take out two more.
Okay. Sigurthur.
Okay. So here's a question in terms of spending hero points to do magic. That doesn't replace my action for the turn, right?
No.
Okay.
At least I'm not ruling it that way.
So I guess here's a mechanics question. Are we, basically, do these guys just have, like, one wound each before they're out of the fight? Is that how that is working?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So Sigurthur is going to reach in her rune bag. So I'm spending a hero point to activate some magic. She's pulling out one. This is another question we'll have to figure out, is like, how many runes can she have prepared for what combinations, because there's all different combinations. Do you care if I just always can have whatever I want prepared?
For now, yeah.
Okay.
If it becomes broken, we'll address it when it becomes broken.
So she's pulling out a rune that has the Storm Storchmerk and the, where'd it go, Winter Letetmerk. This is the first time I'm using this magic, so I'm still trying to figure out exactly how it works.
No worries.
Oh, no, that's not how that works. Okay.
You know, Vinny, if you pretend like you know how it works, confidence is key. Then it works that way.
right? Well, I'm pretty sure it doesn't work the way I just thought it did.
So I treat my magic until Zach says, are you sure it works that way? And then I'm going to leave the country and change my name.
Do we have any opportunities in the scene?
The opportunities are getting people out.
Okay. Okay, then I'll pair the Storm Storchmerk with the Courage Letetmerk. Sigurthur breaks this tablet with the rune on it and gets a little bit of a glow around her. What those do is all characters in the current scene gain a raise, and then I choose someone, and that character instead gains two raises. And it doesn't say I can't choose myself, so I'll choose myself.
All right.
A lot of the other ones do say, but not yourself. So I'll get the two raises instead. And then the other part is choose another character in the scene with you. That character can immediately activate an opportunity without spending a raise. So I'll just choose myself for that one as well. Oh, no, that one says another character. I guess I'll choose Lena. Doesn't really matter, because the only opportunity we have is getting more people out.
All right.
So Lena has an extra raise to do something with. I guess that would only last this round, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can choose what to do with that after this. And then I'm going to keep slashing some more.
All righty. You could probably keep the raise till your turn, Mandy, if you wanted, and then just add it on to.
Just because I'm not sure how long we'll stick around, I'm going to use the raise this time and just say I knocked out a third person.
Okay.
That is four raises. Actually, six raises for me because of my the rune I broke.
All right. The population is looking a little under half of the civilians still around.
Okay. So I will... So I've got six to work with. I will... how many guys are around?
There are five.
Five. You know what? Let's clear out all five.
All right.
She's going on a storm rampage, and we'll get one more of the crowd safety.
Alrighty. So you just go on a rampage, just knocking through guys, taking these out, and people are taking this opportunity like, someone's going berserk. I'm out. Peace out. Bread's not worth it.
It's probably a good call.
But I do take three more wounds, right?
Yes, you take three more wounds.
And I assume it skips over the like consequence mark?
Yes.
I already have?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Ooh, that's not great.
And just remember, that extra raise, I think, would go to them as well. The extra raise from my rune.
Well, good news. The way I've been rolling their dice... So, Raul... Or not Raul. Mark and Victor. I don't know why I thought Raul. It's one of the names I went through earlier today. Anyway, they're able to, like, they have the opportunity, with all the enemies being gone for a moment, they got an extra moment to get everyone out. Unfortunately, at this moment, the Gravediggers Guild comes out in force. They rolled really well, and with their extra raise, 27 guys pour out of the caverns.
Woo!
I'm not saying that we retreat, but maybe we lead them on a wild chase of goose?
I was just about to suggest that.
And the longer we make it, the more time your friends have to get rid of Mr. Redface himself. Wait, are we getting rid of him? What is the plan? Or are you just cursing? Oh, you're cursing him. That's right.
I was going to say, you'll hear the story soon.
It better be a good one, and I'm going to hear the door of a beer.
Let's
go.
Let's get out of here. I think Lena does like a whistle, like put, you know, does the fingers in the, like, you know, really ear splitting whistle to like draw attention, but then just like books it.
You see, like, before you do, like, when you whistle, you see Mark do a cartwheel backflip, you know, like tumble and be like, come, senorita, we go.
Lead the way.
Who's watching the backs now? And he runs off.
Love to watch him walk away.
He's a good looking man, you know? Got that nice 5 o'clock shadow permanently.
Love it.
That would take a lot of work in that time, you know, because they don't have trimmers. So how do you get a consistent 5 o'clock shadow?
He's just lucky.
Exactly. He can't grow facial hair. It's not that he can grow a beard. It's that he can grow 5 o'clock shadow and then it stops.
Pretty impressive.
How would Aragorn have had the beard that he had?
Anyway.
All right.
It would have been impossible.
You're asking all the question every woman asks every time there's a post-apocalyptic story and the woman has nice hair. Or cuts her hair with a rusty knife and then it's perfect.
Well, like, razor blades, you can get a knife razor sharp and shave with it. That's possible. But stubble is really hard to achieve consistent stubble. It's like either you have a beard or you have no beard.
Anyway.
He's very talented with the blade.
I mean, that's like really, really hard.
So is Sigrith running too?
The other three have left you.
So is Victor still here, or is Victor booked it?
I think Victor's leaving. Victor knows retreat is the better part of valor. And the better part of fighting another day and not dying in the street.
I think Sigrithur is still in frenzy mode. She's going to take another swing.
Alrighty. I'm letting you know, the damage is significantly worse now. There's 27 of them.
Like, it'll kill me worse?
It will not kill you. You cannot be straight up killed. Because these guys, like, you cannot be straight
up killed.
It's
bad news.
It's not how this game works. However, it's gonna hurt.
Yeah, I think this is what Sigrithur would do. Before, like, she wouldn't realize that people had, that everyone else had retreated yet. So she's gonna roar and do another slash. That is 4 raises.
What are you using it on? Reducing damage or just doing the murders?
Damage.
I think just doing the murders.
All right, cool. You take 10 damage.
10 is a lot.
Yeah, there's 27 of them versus one person. You know when I said they were outnumbered?
There's a reason the rest of us ran.
How many things do we even? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Cody. 20.
That's a lot.
There's numbers at the top.
Mine just says 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. It doesn't give numbers. Like, not for each one.
In the game status, we have numbers.
Oh, I keep forgetting to open up that. Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm distracting from the combat.
Sigrithur does have a whole extra bar, though, for her hard-to-kill advantage.
Anyway, Sigrithur goes in and takes out a few of them, and then is just overwhelmed. You can win a 1v1 fight. You can win a 2v1 fight, because Sigrithur is amazing at fighting. Even 3v1, like, Sigrithur has a pretty solid chance, but 27v1 is a little outside the realm that she can do anything. Every time she swings, there's, like, someone can block her, and someone else can hit an exposed flank as her weapons get caught in the tangle of shovels and picks and etc. As you are being kicked down and bleeding, and your vision starts to fuzz a little bit as you keep getting hit in the head over and over again. We will end.
Hey Wanderers, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Corsairs of Kestiel. This game is being run in the 7th Sea 2nd Edition system. If you want to hear more content from the Wandering Gamer Network, you can check us out at the Wandering Gamer Network website. We stream on Twitch with the username wandering_gamers, and you can follow us on Twitter at @WGNPodcast. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. All information about the music used can be found in the episode description. Until next time, wherever you wander, may you find your way home.